Welcome to the Ninja Lane Podcast Extras. In this episode, we talk about our custom level 10 GT case mod giveaway and how you can win. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCabe.
Wanted to take the opportunity, Dennis, to talk a little bit today about a special project that's been brewing here at the Hardware Asylum Labs.
Ooh, special projects. I love those things. Which one are you talking about?
So I'm looking at right now a beautiful custom painted level 10 GT.
Ooh, you mean the one right over there? I'm pointing, by the way.
And we've talked a little bit about this off and on, not just on the main podcast, but also on the new website. And with good reason, because this is really the first of what's planned to be a series of custom cases.
Right. And in this particular case, I am using a level 10 GT, as we mentioned before. And it's a case that was originally inspired by the level 10, which was a partnership with Thermaltake and BMW.
So this is one of the higher end cases that Thermaltake builds.
Yeah. Now, this isn't an actual level 10. This is a level 10 GT, which is Thermaltake's version to make a cheaper copy of the level 10. Now, this is a standard square case. It has a lot of plastic attached to it. It has a lot of functionality built in, which is one reason that I kept it. And also, it has a great modding potential.
So this is a large case. Is this an ATX case?
Yeah, it's a full ATX, extended ATX, actually.
Oh, extended ATX.
It has 8 expansion slots, so you can run 4-way GPUs in there and have them screw into the case. It has
hot swappable bays, right?
Is hot swappable bays from the outside. So there's a button that you can press and pull the drive out. There is a lock at the bottom that will lock the drives in place so they can't come out. There's a lock on the door so that you can lock that completely down. And it has a lot of little tabs on the back where you can also lock in your keyboard and mouse.
So really a multi-purpose case, because those are the type of things we expect to see in more of a server environment.
Right, and also in a LAN gaming sort of case.
Very true, very true.
There is a handle across the top, which was inspired by the original level 10. And it also served as the primary carrying vehicle to get it in and out of the box and also in and out of the paint booth.
Now, it looks like a tremendous amount of cooling and venting in the case also.
Yeah, there's two 200 millimeter fans, one in the front, one in the top. There's, I want to say it's a 140 in the back to vent it. It's 140 or 120. I just know it's black. And that, and then there's also 200 in the door.
So let's step back a little bit and talk about case mods in general. As you know, I used to spend a lot of my time and effort doing case mods back in the day. In fact, I won a few competitions and have kind of drifted away from that as cases themselves have become more unique looking and more full-featured out of the box.
Yeah, I call those the pre-mods. And it's really a manufacturer response to what people like you and me were doing to cases to improve the cooling, the looks, appearance, and general usability.
Now, I'll admit that I still have a pretty nice Dremel setup and have done a lot of that work myself, but I've gotten a little bit lazy. Yeah. In fact, in general, we haven't done a case mod for the site in quite some time.
Nope. The last case mod that was on the site was one that I did, and that was, 3 years ago, maybe 4. See, I did a home theater PC, and that was just kind of a build-up of a small form factor sort of system. And then there was a server that I built out of some old case parts that I painted green, cut a hole in there so I could put water cooling,
nice.
So integrated water cooling. And it was one of those that I wanted to do the mod over a weekend, but it ended up taking like 2 months.
So I've scrolled away some cases, too, with the intent of eventually, well, let's just say making them modern again. And I know that you've done the same because, to be honest, it's difficult to unload cases. They're expensive to ship, and we all kind of have our favorites.
Right, and I'm still using, well, and this is kind of embarrassing, so to speak, but I'm still using an old Antec SX. I want to say it's a 635, I think.
Yeah, but when you find a good case, it's like a good pair of shoes. You don't want to move up unless there's a really compelling reason to do so, like our beautiful Level 10 GT.
Yeah.
So why now? Why mod this case?
Well, this was a case that I held on to because it was very large, so shipping and selling would be somewhat difficult. It was also a case that had a great modding potential.
Right.
So I held it onto it so I could mod the case. And it turns out that 2 years after the review, I finally got that mod. And that is to be a giveaway prize for the launch of HardwareAsylum.com.
Looking at the case, there is a lot to like about it. But I know that you did a build log on this. I don't want to rehash so much the build log. I want to encourage you to go to the new HardwareAsylum.com website and check out really some great pictures and a step-by-step of how we went through it. But I want to talk about the process and some of the decisions that you made. And I know that you broke this into several steps.
Right. All right. So where would you like to start?
Well, let's start at the beginning. What was the first step?
First step, prep and planning. So in this case, it was selecting the case. And I just go out to Ninja Lane Labs building 2, aka the garage. I'm going to have to change the name of that, I think, probably. But I go out there and I find a level 10 GT.
A great case.
Great case. And basically pull that out of the box. In the review, I had talked about some of the modding options that you had with this case. One of them, I believe I had mentioned, is that you can pull the metal grills off of the plastic bits and either paint behind them so you get a nice mesh over color. Because right now the case is completely black.
Right.
Later, Thermaltake released a snow edition, which is replacing the black bits with white bits. Makes it look really nice, by the way. But that is something that the manufacturer can do. So in my case, you can paint behind the grills, or you can paint the grills themselves. And I chose to paint the grills. So after that, I kind of looked at other mods that I could possibly do. And I thought, well, maybe I can put a new window on the side of the case or remove the fan that's on the side, because I didn't necessarily like the fan. And thought, well, maybe I could put a window in there and some lights and some fancy stuff. So it's more or less mapping out the mod and then acquiring the parts you need to make it happen.
So going into a case mod, I think we all agree that if you have your plan in advance, it's not only a lot easier to execute, but it keeps you more organized. Kind of coming in blind, well, you're more prone to make mistakes or bad design decisions.
Right. And it also helps the mod go quicker, like any project, really. Once you have a plan or marching orders, you know what the first step is, what the second step is, and what the third step is.
Now, I know you've done some design work with your history in the past, but did you sketch it out, or did you just kind of rough it out in your head, or how did you come up with what you were going to do for colors and what pieces you were going to change?
It was all in my head, really. I have a unique ability to be able to visualize something and then be able to make changes in my head on and know exactly what the outcome is going to be. And in this case, I wanted to do a side window, as I mentioned, but I also wanted to change the color and contrasting colors. I wanted a color that would match the new site design.
Right.
And this is one of the questions I get a lot, is why did I choose the color I chose? And we can talk about that later when I actually pick the color, but it has to do with the logo on the new site.
Oh, so very cohesive in the image to go with the new site.
Right. So in my case, I wanted to build contrasting colors, and that would mean changing some of the black bits to the new color.
So let's talk about the color. It looks really good from here, but if you're just listening to the podcast, what color choice did you go with?
I went with a pearl orange, which is actually the same color used on 2004 Lamborghini Gallardo. Gallardo? I'm terrible at Latin.
It's a beautiful color, and in fact, it contrasts very nicely with the black.
Right, and it does match the flame on the Hardware Asylum logo. And that's where that color came from.
So the paint, I know, was a specific choice, not just because of the color, but also the paint method that you wanted to use. So let's talk a little bit about the paint process.
Okay. A lot of case mods that any weekender can do would involve like a can of Krylon, which is like a bomb can or a
rattle can.
Yeah, and that's just an enamel paint. The nice thing about enamel paints is that they air dry, they can be stored in a can, and you know, you can go and buy them for a couple of bucks.
Well, and an additional bonus that you'll get into a little more detail, I'm sure, is that they kind of come bonded with the primer built into them, so you can do it in a single application.
Right. Now, I wanted to really wow people when they saw this case. So I went with an automotive grade paint, which is where that 2004 Lamborghini color comes from.
Okay, so let's step back a little bit. If you're going automotive paint, certainly you must have had to buy automotive equipment to apply it.
Right. And one bit of my history that doesn't come across in Hardware Review is that growing up, I used to paint cars. Not necessarily professionally, but I painted a couple of cars, a trailer, my motorcycle. You know, I know how to spray automotive colors. And it's really just a matter of knowing the process.
So you must have had this stuff just lying around then.
I had some stuff lying around, yes. Unfortunately, a lot of that gear goes bad if you don't use it. It's a use it or lose it sort of thing. So
just the painting requires some additional prep work too then.
Right. I went down to the local paint and spray and told them that I'm looking for a certain color. And the 2004 Pearl Orange is what they call the tri-stage paint. So that requires a base coat, a color coat, and a clear coat.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. That's three separate coats that you have to apply over top of a primer coat. And in this case, since I didn't sand the case down and didn't treat the metal, I'm just using a sealer, so I'll paint over whatever finish is on there already. So
saves time.
It does save time, and that's four distinct coats. It's also four chances to screw up.
So I'm noticing from your build log that you have, of course, a professional paint booth in the labs.
Professional being a very loose term.
Of course, but what did you use to set up your paint environment, because I know it's very important, especially with a multi-layered paint, to keep the environment sterile. Is that the right term?
You have to keep things clean. And in my case, I went with the plastic tarps. So in previous case mods where I've used automotive paint, a lot of times I would just put down a drop cloth and it would be outside in the environment, but that was an enamel paint. So it was one coat and then it would just dry, and that would basically be it. If there was any dirt, then you would sand that out and polish it. With a tri-stage paint, you have to take a few more steps to make sure that no dirt and outside influences get into your project. You also want to minimize overspray on things, like in my case, I'm spraying in the garage or building two. I don't want overspray to get on top of, you know, the other cases that are in the lab and the boxes. Right. And, you know, it kind of makes people mad when they get overspray on stuff. So
cars, children, anything that walks by.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a practice net that I'd use for golf.
Okay.
And this was a 10 by 10 by 10 square that was held up with like electrical conduit. I needed to be 6 feet tall to fit in the garage and still pass under the garage door opener. So I went, chopped down the legs and used that as a frame, and then draped plastic over it. And that basically created my two separate environments.
So if you were trying to do a paint job like this at home,
which I wouldn't recommend.
It definitely seems very complicated. Mm-hmm. But you're building a clean room. Now, how about safety and ventilation? I know that's a pretty critical thing to talk about.
Right. In a professional spray booth, you have three things. You have a booth, which is a separate clean room environment. You have a lot of fluorescent lights so that you can light your project, which is also very important. And you also have ventilation, because automotive paint is very toxic. There's a reducer that you put into the paint itself to thin it, so it'll spray through the gun. The catalyst that hardens the paint, if you're using an enamel, there's a catalyst that goes in with the enamel, which is not in a Krylon, for instance. And in this case, there's a clear coat that goes over the top of everything, and that has the catalyst. That catalyst is actually, in California, causes cancer. It basically has like cyanide and some other nasty stuff.
It's not the kind of crap that you want to breathe or get on you.
Nope. So I used a respirator, which is also a must. You see people in third world countries just using your standard dust mask, and they think that that's actually safe. Well, it's not. All it does is stop the particles. It doesn't stop the chemicals. I used a respirator from Seda, which is a German company. It has two canister filters that you breathe in, and it filters out everything. You don't actually smell any of the paint fumes. I'm not going to say that you could probably survive a gas attack with it, but it will definitely, you won't be able to smell it. And then when you exhale, it comes out through a vent in the front. So it completely controls where the air comes in as you're breathing.
I'm sensing sort of a implied disclaimer here. Don't try this at home.
You need to take the proper safety precautions. And that's one thing that I learned over the many years that I've done this.
I see that. So talk us through the painting process. I know you've talked about the three stages, but how exactly did it go?
Went actually better than expected. You know, it's been several years since I painted a tri-stage paint. Sealer coat is basically air dry. So it's a paint and reducer. And that is like your primer coat's standard gray. And you'll see that in the pictures in the build doc. The base coat is a white. And that actually sets the tone for all the colors above it. So it's really important to make sure you get a good coverage on your base coat. Base coat is an air dry, just like your primer coat. And it goes on as kind of a matte finish, so it's glossy. Your color coat, in this case, is going to be the orange, and that has the pearl essence in it.
Nice.
You have to spray that on in such a way that you align the pearls. And this is where some skill comes in, because you have to make sure that you have proper spray technique, because if you spray one direction at one speed and then another direction at slightly less speed, it's going to misalign the pearls, and you'll be able to see that in the paint, which is something that you kind of have to screw up on a couple of times to know exactly how that works.
Interesting. Yet another reason to avoid a tri-stage paint if you're just a hobbyist at home.
Yes. And then the final stage is the clear coat. And the clear coat is probably it's the most dangerous because of the cancerous stuff that's in there. It is also the most difficult because the nature that it is clear. When you're spraying color, you can see where the color goes. You know how heavy the color is. With a clear coat, you have to look, you have to look at the reflection of the paint. And that's where you got to have proper lighting, in which I didn't really have. I had the sun and a couple of lights in the garage. So, yeah, you kind of spray, and then you twist, and you turn, and you say, oh, that looks good. Oh, that looks good. And, yeah, there you go.
So at this point, we've got a good plan, we've got good materials, and we've got a phenomenal paint job.
Yes.
So what comes next?
The reassembly process. Tri-stage paint takes about an hour to set up to make it workable, and that was as a response for body workers that are, you know, trying to get cars in and out of a body shop. Well, you have to be able to have the paint set up to be able to polish. I tend to to let them set overnight because it makes the paint a little bit harder so that you can work it a little bit longer. But I painted this in the fall, and temperature is also very important, which you may not know. Warmer temperatures, faster cure time.
Makes sense.
Yep. In my case, I was putting the case back together, stage three. It was a little soft still, so I had to be careful. But it's basically a reversal of how I took the case apart. For this project, I separated the drive cages, and left those black. And when I put that back in the case, it makes a nice contrast between the orange and the black. Put the rubber grommets back in, reassemble the grills, which you pull the tabs out, you can remove the grill, you put it back in, you put the tabs back in. You have to be really careful with those tabs because it's perforated, for one, and this metal is basically non-structural. It's the cheapest stuff they had laying around. And it tends to be a little weak, so you have to be really careful with how you bend and your bending technique, so to speak.
Well, and you want to protect the integrity of that paint job, too.
Right. And luckily for me, some of the side pieces of the grills are not seen, so I can push those into the plastic. If they got screwed up, you're not going to be able to see.
Now, in addition to the paintwork and the assembly, let's talk about that window.
Right. Originally, I set out to put in a large side window into this case to remove that fan that I didn't necessarily like and kind of clean up the side and make it look a little bit better.
Right.
once I got the parts off of the side window, I noticed that there was a ton of holes everywhere. And for me to cover up all those holes, I'd either have to repair them and then cut a new window or cut a really large window.
Right.
So I decided, nope, not going to do that. We'll just treat what we have, put the fans back in there. And that upper window, which is the small one, I was going to tint that with some automotive grade window tint and put a new Hardware Asylum window applique on there.
So the window is tinted and the applique looks great, as you'll see in the pictures. Mm-hmm. I do want to point out that one of the reasons that that bottom piece is so difficult to remove is not just the presence of the large fan, but it also has integrated electronics to control the fan and a really interesting Louvre system to direct the air. So not really the same as a regular side window on a standard case.
No. And leaving it in there isn't a bad thing, because the fan that Thermaltake included with a Level 10 GT has these different lighting effects. So it'll blink and it'll change colors and pattern itself. So it's not going to be a bad thing if it's in there. It's not going to be a bad thing if you remove it.
Adds a little bit of personality. I like the tint. I think it looks great. And I haven't seen a tinted window in a case that I can recall.
Well, I've done two cases that have had a window tint.
Oh.
The first one I actually got in trouble for, because it was a it was the Playboy bunny head.
Oh, no.
And I cut that into a side of a case. It was the case I painted white, made the bunny head a window that had automotive tint behind it. And then when I posted it on the website about 2 weeks later, Playboy had actually sent me an email saying, you need to remove that from the side of your case and take our trademark down, blah, blah, blah.
Who knew they're watching case mods?
Yeah, cease and desist. Well, I think it was kind of a common thing. I'm not sure. But and then the second one is the case I'm currently in, where I did a Shuriken on the side of a case, where I cut that in with the Dremel, and I also tinted the backside of that.
Very nice.
So I felt that it was almost required to tint this window. And the sticker was just to, you know, give the site a little bit more exposure.
So talk me through the tinting process. Is this an easy mod?
I am not the best tinter. I will freely admit that. But the tinting process is pretty simple. All you do is you create a water soap mixture and put that in a spray bottle.
Okay.
And that will act as a lubricant, if you will, to separate the window tint from the glass that you're trying to apply it to. Now, the window tint is, you know, it's transparent, but one side of it is sticky and the other side has a nice little film on it. So you peel off the sticky part, you put the water down, and you float the tint over top of the water, get it positioned how you want, and then you take a squeegee and remove all the soapy water, allowing the tint to adhere to the, in this case, the plastic panel underneath.
That doesn't sound too bad.
It's not terrible, but you wouldn't believe how sticky that stuff is. I've had to retint that window a couple of times. And in one case, I got to the point where that window got so scratched that I had to recreate the window and then retint it. So I have a spare Hardware Asylum tinted window for a Level 10 that is sitting in the lab here.
Fantastic. Now, is this the same tint that you would find in a car application, or is this a hobbyist tint?
No, it's a car application tint. It's one that I got from Shucks, I want to say, several years ago.
Oh.
I just haven't used it all up yet. But you could go down to the local window tinter, you know, and say, hey, I need to have this panel with a 20% window tint on it, metallized film or something like that. And, you know, $20 later, they'll probably go and apply it for you.
Hey, that's not a bad idea, and a fairly simple, at least in this one, maybe the simplest mod.
Yeah.
So let's walk through it again. We prepped and planned our case, got the materials we needed. We did all the mod work in a disassembled paint. Then we reassembled.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves us with a fantastic, again, Level 10 GT.
Yeah. And one lucky Hardware Asylum reader will win it.
If you had to do it again, what lessons would you say you've learned?
I would say I need to work on paint booth ventilation. It turns out that spraying with my Graco Finex Sharpie spray gun thing, which you can see in the build log. That's sprays a lot of material, and in my small paint booth, I could get through about one color coat before the fumes got so bad that I had to stop. And if I could get some air circulation within my paint booth, it's not really a real booth, it's more of a paint square or something. if I could get some ventilation in there, then that would allow me to put down a bit more color and spend a little bit more time making sure that the paint job is coming out the way I want.
Well, I certainly think the results are pretty good, especially considering the amount of work that went into it. Mm-hmm. I'd be excited to own the case, and I know a lot of our listeners will be too. So how do you get this case for yourself?
You need to visit the contest giveaway page on hardwareasylum.com. There's a link in the header. You can also go to our Facebook page. There's a entry form there. Entry is simple. You just need to like the Hardware Asylum page. You also need to like our sponsor, which is Thermaltake. They are giving away some great gear, which is a water 3.0 and a 750-watt power supply that will go with the case and also as secondary prizes to two other lucky winners.
Wow, that's a terrific giveaway and certainly a lot of work into this case. So I do wish you luck on that.
Yeah.
But looking forward, I know we mentioned some additional projects. Any sneak peeks into what we could expect in the future?
Well, let's see. This month, which would be November, I'm going to be working on the December giveaway case mod project.
Ooh, a new case mod project.
Yep, I have the case lined out already. It will be one of the reviews that will be coming out soon. And then I'm going to be doing another one in January. So if you don't win the level 10 GT, you have two other chances to win a custom case. And if you have any questions or comments or requests, be sure to send them via Facebook or email us at podcast@ninjalane.com.
Well, thanks for catching us up on the project. And again, good luck on the giveaway.
This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2013. Thanks for listening.